In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is a great tradition that identifies the woman taken in adultery, the woman from today's Gospel, with our own diocesan patroness, St. Mary Magdalene. It is a tradition that you will find among the saints and among the fathers of the Church. Now, if you say that around modern scripture scholars, their heads will explode, which is a really entertaining thing. Now, my personal opinion, my personal tendency is to always err on the side of tradition because we're not Protestants. We don't believe in sola scriptura. We have scripture and tradition. And I think we dismiss and ignore tradition at our peril. In his movie, The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson used this tradition in a very effective way when St. Mary Magdalene remembered this incident. It's a very powerful scene in the movie where she is dragged before Jesus and they want Jesus to order her to be stoned to death, and he doesn't. Now, why did they bring her before Jesus? Did they want his wisdom? No, they didn't want his wisdom. They were trying to trap him. Whenever the scribes and the Pharisees come to Jesus with a question, you know that they have an ulterior motive. They knew what he had said, about sins being forgiven. They knew that he had eaten with prostitutes and tax collectors. So I bet they were all but certain that Jesus would say to her, "Your sins are forgiven," or say she should not be stoned to death. And then they would have something to bring against him because that is contrary to the law of Moses. And if on the off chance Jesus did say, the law of Moses says that she should be stoned, then they could say, what about mercy and forgiveness? They thought they had him either way. You almost have to feel sorry for those who ask Jesus questions with an ulterior motive, because he never gives them the answer that they want. And so this is a trap. Now, oftentimes people say, what about the guy? You say, are they wretched sexists? Did they let the guy go and they're going to hold the woman responsible? No, that would really run counter to the practice of the time. Now, he could have made an escape. Now, that's possible. Or he could have already been dealt with. He could have already been stoned to death, because there's nothing that said they had to be stoned to death together. I think it could be either of those. And the reason that they brought the woman before him was to tug at his heartstrings, that it made better theater. So what did Jesus do instead? He wrote in the dust. Now, I had a friend, he's a priest, he's a good fellow, but he's a little strange. And he said that, no, he wasn't writing in the dust. He was doodling in the dust to show his contempt for the whole situation. No. Again, there's a very strong tradition from the saints and the fathers that what Jesus was doing was writing the sins of the crowd in the dust. And I think that is the case because look who left first. After Jesus said, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone," and he wrote the sins in the dust, who left first? Those who were older, the elders. If you're old like me, or like most of you, we've been on earth a while. We've racked up the number of sins. And so we're going to recognize our sins before younger people because they've had less experience. But in any case, they all leave. And the one who is without sin, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the only one left. Woman, is there anyone to condemn you? No, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Don't do it again. And make no mistake, she was not innocent. She was taken in the very act of adultery. She was guilty, shall we say, as sin. But Jesus does not condemn her. Instead, He challenges her to repentance. This is a very good illustration of God's mercy, and Lord knows we need a good illustration of God's mercy, because there's so many goofy distortions of it out there, that God's mercy means, oh, you don't ever have to worry about anything. It doesn't really matter because God's a giant cosmic care bear and he's not going to hold you accountable for anything. No. You know, God can and will judge us. But when will God judge us? At the end of our lives, or when the Lord returns in glory, whichever comes first? That is when we will be judged. And God can justly judge us because he is without sin and he knows all things. You know, we as human beings, we can judge actions. You know, some people think I'm weird because I use this example, and they're right. You know, if you see someone throwing a baby into a wood chipper, you don't have to stand back and say, well, who am I to judge? No, you can grunt for it and grab the baby. You can tell him to stop. You can punch the guy. You can call evil evil and good good. But you can't judge a person's soul. Only God can do that. Notice that Jesus did not excuse the woman's sin. He didn't say everyone has a right to be happy. Love is love. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, don't do it again. Just because God wants to forgive us, it doesn't mean our sins are not important. They are important. But what is even more important is that he gives us the opportunity to turn from them. As he gave to this woman the chance to turn from her sins and gave her a command to repent. God knows our sins. He doesn't minimize them. He doesn't accept them. But he gives us the chance to turn from them if we are contrite. He does not excuse our sins or tolerate them. You know, there are those who say that because the tradition identifies St. Mary Magdalene as a reformed prostitute, as a great sinner who became a great saint, that that's somehow making her less than what she is. That that's somehow dethroning her from being one of the great saints of the church. And I, as God is my witness, cannot see that. What is a greater example of God's mercy and his love and his power? Taking a really goody-two-shoes and making them into a saint? Or taking a hardened sinner from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons and turning her into one of the greatest of the saints? Because as the Lord said to this woman, don't do it again. She didn't do it again. She turned from her sins, became a follower of Jesus, and a loyal follower. The apostles ran for the hills when Jesus was arrested. Mary Magdalene didn't. She stood at the foot of the cross with the Marys and with St. John the Apostle. And God, in his infinite wisdom, chose her to bring the message of the resurrection to the apostles. And tradition also teaches us that she died in prayerful penitence in southern France. You know, in our cathedral, we have relics of St. Mary Magdalene. And our cathedral down in Salt Lake is the only cathedral in the entire world dedicated to the patronage of the Magdalene. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.